Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for being with us here. New Life Series, educational series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And we want to learn how we can make our lives happier, better. New life that we'll get up in the morning with a great light in our face, that we'll feel that we're happy to be alive. We're looking for happiness, and we want to do it in a really scientific way. In each of our discussions, we take one of the factors that research shows it influences our happiness, and we try to learn it in depth, why it influences our happiness, and how it can bring us to a place of greater happiness. Each of us alone and all of us together as a society, be with us. There will be a lot to take on the way to happiness. Tal, after you. So today we want to take a wider perspective about the subject of happiness and talk about the future of our world, of our existence. It turns out that today these two things are very much connected, the future of the world and our happiness. What's our existence concern about the existence of the world, our economy, our health? We used to hear it more about ecological things, and now we see it's widening, and our personal happiness, it has to do with the sustainability movement is very varied. It's in the United Nations. There's all kinds of communities around the world. All kinds of people want to live their life in a more harmonious and happy manner. For example, the Secretary of the UN said we need a new economic paradigm that takes into account more elements like social, economic, and environmental elements. And there was a conference about happiness in the UN in 2012. They wanted to talk about the search for happiness, the quality of life, sustainability. They wanted to, and they spoke about it. They spoke about how the search for happiness is a basic need of each citizen in the world, that it's a necessity. Happiness is a necessity for our sustainability. They actually want to turn happiness into the main goal of public service. There's a researcher that researched the state of happiness in the whole world with psychologists, statisticians. He found out that we need to see happiness as a policy. Happiness is a policy, not just a consumer need. It has to be part of policymaking. We're living in a time of conflicts. On the one hand, the whole world is more technological and we have more abundance. On the other hand, there's a billion people that don't have what to eat, and our happiness didn't go up in accordance with our technological advancement. We have all kinds of new problems, diabetes, overweight, smoking. They give the United States as an example. It's so technologically advanced, but they're not happy, the citizens. And actually, they say that we've reached we've entered a new era where humanity is the main thing that's going to change things. The happiness ecology. If we continue in this manner, the planet will suffer to such an extent that we won't be able to exist here, but we have an opportunity to go in a positive direction that will transform happiness into our central goal, and from our aspiration to happiness, we'll reach sustainability. So after this long introduction, what's the importance of putting happiness as our goal in order to reach a sustainable existence? In the science that I deal for a few decades already, happiness was always actually the main goal, because man's nature is a will to receive, will to enjoy, to receive pleasure, and we're talking about the fact that this desire to enjoy our existence, our current and possibly future existence, depends on the development of that same object that we're talking about. So if it has a feeling of the future, then it looks after the future. Then the feeling of happiness is our ability to survive, to enjoy every moment, now and in the future. And this feeling of happiness exists in all kinds of forms in nature, in each and every detail, in each and every element, inanimate, animate, vegetative, human, and especially we measure it in people because there's a reaction there. And he can change himself in his environment. And then in that, also in living and vegetative, they don't want to survive just in one place, they want to survive elsewhere. The inclination to happiness, to security, health, etc., it exists in each and everyone. All the laws of nature, actually, physics, the law of gravity, static, they're all at their foundation, they're talking about happiness, about our inclination to be happy, to exist in a perfect, in the maximum perfect way in the current state and also in the future. And even though we still don't recognize it at the inanimate, vegetative, and animate level, we're discovering it more and more, at least in the human society. In animals, look how all the animals ran away to the mountains. And in all kinds of forms, we see how much they're more. They are verifying their current and future happiness much better than us. A human is a problematic creature because our inclination for happiness is always there, but it's changing all the time because he's always the under this pressure of development. There's this he has this urge to develop. He always has to check for himself what it means to be happy. And sometimes it means to survive, to have children, to develop from generation to generation in his short life. In the old days, it was like that. And then afterwards, it was more to get rich, to have enough for the next year, the next few years. Happiness and wealth, it would be dependent on some kind of development, scientific development, technological development, money, respect, knowledge. This is how he would advance. In other words, happiness, even though it's our basic measurement, but we don't know how to measure it. It's as if we need to convert it to something that's clearer. How much money, how much power, how much respect, how much food. That will already be clearer and safer. Apart from that, we always measured things that were close to us, according to our development in history, to know how much it influences me or not. So once upon a time, I used to build a home with walls, with the high walls, and then I'd feel safe. Afterward, I saw it doesn't really help. Even a whole city, it doesn't help that it's behind the wall. In countries also not enough. You need to have some kind of circles of security, maybe some kind of agreement with the neighbors. My happiness, my understanding of happiness was always developing. and would include more and more things. In the 20th century, we've reached, after all the world wars and the technological and psychological development, we've reached a state where our happiness is dependent on a nuclear bomb that's maybe ticking in Iran or in the States or in North Korea. That my happiness is dependent on the climate, that all kinds of hurricanes happening in the ocean, in the Atlantic Ocean, they also influence me. In other words, I already feel that I'm dependent on the entire world. And then it's more correct for a regular person to begin to feel that the world is integral, global, that everyone's dependent on everyone, meaning that my happiness and the world's happiness are starting to get closer, and one is dependent on the other. And that's why we started to count our success, our sustainability, not on how much coal you have, or gas, or arms, or all kinds of things, your health system, your banking system, but rather happiness is already something that includes everything in it, and especially the entire ecology, because who knows in the near future on what I'm dependent and what else will happen. Meaning more and more, a person begins to see in a wider and wider view how his personal happiness is dependent on the entire world. And this is how we get closer to a true viewpoint that I, as a scientist, we used to claim that since then, that A, measurement of happiness is the most correct measurement because it comes from man's nature, from our inclination for happiness, fulfilling, for a good feeling in this life, and to be sure, and even more for the next world, meaning the world that's coming up from today to tomorrow, the emerging world, and that this feeling does not depend on how much coal and gas and dollars and what's in the bank and even health. The measurement has to be inclusive, including all the data, all the causes and cases that were not. And this is how we get closer and closer to the true reason. What am I dependent on? How can I be happy to feel myself powerful, to fill myself today and tomorrow? And every person in the world and all of humanity, and even that we're dependent on the ecology and inanimate, vegetative, animate, we're talking about a truly global world, that's what we need to look at. And actually, starting to be a problem for many people in the world, that they see that this is how they can see the world. The UN is also starting to deal with it. They see there's a great difficulty to raise humanity to a level like that because they see we're going to need the integral education. This is our goal, to open a person's eyes to see what he's dependent on, how he can reach true happiness, to the general perspective of the world, that he feels that he's dependent on everyone and everyone's dependent on him. And also that we need to not be dependent on people, that their narrow eyes are focused on money or control, power, respect, on things that limit us from seeing the global world, because the global world means everyone's dependent on everyone, so we have to look after. Each of us has to look after everyone. And here we bump into a big problem, that we need to change a person's attitude to humanity, to the environment, to everything. And then we can get closer to implementing the true term of happiness. So the issue of sustainability and happiness is something that we can truly ask, and we can open a discussion about how to answer it. So actually what they're saying is that if we focus on happiness, like the science of happiness says, like social ties, realizing my potential in society, and less this consumer race, consumption race, then it will allow us to balance out with our environment. So therefore, they're saying it's very important for us to focus on happiness and not wealth. These are the two paradigms. So in other words, you agree that if we begin to deal more with happiness in a person, we'll be able to save the planet, because a person includes everything, and because in our egoistic nature, of course, everything that has to do with our happiness is more important to us than let the animals live, etc., then of course, if we do something that has to do with a person, happiness and sustainability of the human race, that will bring us to a solution in the quickest way. There's even an approach that says that all the ecological problems are just a symptom. Most of the researchers believe that the problems will be solved if we use recommendations from biology, physics, etc. And they say things will be solved if we understand the social, hidden social processes, and we'll start using social sciences. That's very close to what we said in these discussions, that if we truly will accept a person as the center of the universe, that all the changes for good or for bad are dependent on him, then in accordance with that, we need to check what's for our good, what's for our bad, and in that we'll change the world. There's no question about it. But the problem is that even though we check and we know, like you read now, that positive social changes will, of course, influence the general situation and the ecology and how a person's attitude to the environment, even not physically but internally, in that he'll change the forces of nature, because he's the most influential force in the balance of natural forces operating on the universe. So of course, so from here we reach this question, how to change a person's nature. And that is actually the central question where our entire solution lies. Either we're reaching something or we can be become extinct. And from here onwards, we need to talk about integral education, how we bring knowledge to the whole human race, about the fact that we all have to be connected in a good connection, from the development of the good connection between us, we'll reach a good connection with our environment, with the inanimate, vegetative, animate living, that will be natural. The main thing is to change a person's nature, is a narrow, egoistic nature that will feel the people, that him and me, it's one and the same. And then my attitude to my fellow man, I'll compare myself the way I relate to someone that I love, or my little son, or my family, myself, and the same way if, for each and every person in the world. If we'll be able to advance toward that, even small little first steps, that will improve our attitude to our fellow man. We'll see that there'll be an abundance of energy sources, and we'll be able to advance very easily toward happiness. And our life doesn't have to be, we don't have to be rich, we don't have to be full of money and control and respect, but rather we'll be satiated with true happiness, with the feeling of life, the feeling of the environment. We'll feel that everything's good, that we don't feel these things. How much I control others. Not just that, but when we hear about people that look after the environment, it sounds like that we have to stop using all kinds of things, minimize our lives. Now, if we change our nature without limiting ourselves in any way, changing our nature, we don't need to limit ourselves in any way, because it's enough for us to begin to start thinking better about others. Our planet is full of resources. We have food. We have a health system. We have everything. We have everything in abundance. Just because of our, if we had a good attitude to one another and we dispersed it properly, no one would be missing anything, and there would be surplus, really limitless, for each and every person. And if we take into account what we spoke about, not once, that actually in the near future, until up to 90% of the world will need to be, will be out of the workforce, there won't be work. And maybe only 10%, hardly, they're saying 2 or 3% of all humanity will need to work. So if we're talking in this manner, then we have to organize society according to a different approach, that many people won't have work. They'll feel really poor, like they feel today when they're unemployed. They feel they're at the bottom of the human ladder, the bottom of what will happen without work, without salary. They'll get free lunches, and even if we give them stuff, where will our heart be to give it properly or not? We won't be able to carry out these social services even. It's a very, very long and tough path full of suffering until we'll be able to, in this manner, understand that we don't have a choice but to change our attitude. We won't be able in an egoistic society to treat people properly. Only if we have a natural, correct attitude to them, then it will come out easily. Without any system that we need to start dealing with them from above, it has nothing to do with governments, it has to do with relations between people. Here we see that the borders between countries are starting to disappear and countries are starting to become something very virtual. And along with all these things that are coming together, they're changing the form of humanity that's becoming rounder, without borders, and suffering and doesn't know what to do with itself. And where's happiness and where's sustainability? These are questions. These are the questions actually today. I had a question today. In Israel and around the world, there's a trend, like a green environmental trend. Companies are trying to act more green, and we see municipalities are trying to change people's behavior to be more considerate of the environment, whether it's recycling or. And the people that are trying to change this behavior say it will come from a change of awareness, that a person will see that his behavior will influence people and his environment. Is it possible through more green behavior, these little acts, will we be able to get more a better feel for this interdependent state we're in? I don't see it. I knew all those organizations 30 years ago, if not more. In the 70s or 80s of the previous century, I was in touch with them. It was interesting for me to see how they would advance. Because at the time there were many people that doubted it, and then there was a period where everyone accepted them, that ecology is very important, until our ego overcame all that. In other words, until we correct our nature, that only then will we be able to give out the food and protect the environment, change from this type of gas to another type of gas, and to stop smoking, and bringing drugs to calm people down. Those things cannot bring us any kind of true advancement because the line that we need to advance on is a line where the person has to change. If a person is in the center of the creation, in the center of the universe, that it's influencing everyone, until we don't change the attitude between us, nothing will change. Just the opposite. The more that we'll want to change external alternative, then we'll see ourselves in a more and more worse situation. And all this is happening to obligate a person to change. At the end of the day, we'll see a very special direction from nature that through all this lack of organization in our world, it's bringing us to necessity to change ourselves and the way we treat one another. And this will be clear to everyone. The question is, will we be able to change ourselves or not? Today as well, I meet lots of people that say, yes, you're right, really. Wouldn't it be great if a person treated people like his relatives and then we'd be able to sit together and organize the whole world in a new way, to cut it up and put it together in a different way, all the systems that we built? How will we be able to do it? If we're like this, precisely for this, everything we can change, everything we can do on the planet, except a person, man's nature is not possible to change, and they're correct. They're even giving a reason. Anything we can change because us humans are at a higher level than that same level, that same degree that we need to change. The animals, the plant world, the static, all kinds of genetic, biological processes, even on our body, we can copy things, but on ourselves, our nature, on our soul, on our character, man's nature, and that's where we are, that I exist above inanimate, vegetative, animate, and man, that I'm my highest level, my highest degree is that I know myself as an egoist, that I'm only concerned with that, only with myself, and apart from that, there's nothing. And from that level, I research all the things, and at this upper level, where I know my egoistic nature, I only have an ability to know that it's not okay. And above that, I can't go up. Meaning at the upper level of recognition, knowing myself, I'm between two things. One is my ego, that I know I'm like that, and each day we see that the world is starting to be less and less ashamed. It's natural. That's my nature. What do you want from me? And on the other hand, we see that it's for our detriment, it's killing us, it's not allowing us to exist, especially not reach happiness and sustainability, but there's no choice. Those same scientists, they're saying, and what are we going to do? It's as if there's no choice. We're going into the snake's mouth, it's killing us, this bad nature, and we don't see any solutions. There's many organizations and methods, but we see that the education is going down and down, meaning the ego, this snake, is swallowing all these systems that we built for our benefit, health and social security and knowledge and education and family and mutual help. We see that with our ego, they're getting all twisted, these systems, and we can't do anything about it. In other words, we're truly heading like a little rabbit that the snake is hypnotizing her. We're going, going, going until he goes in and is swallowed. Even at the time when there's all these committees and discussions in the UN that we have to stop with all these things, there's no change. That's where it ends. And I took part in lots of those things. I was in the World Wisdom Society and all kinds of conferences, organizations. Apart from talking, there's nothing, because they're not capable of grasping a method that is so simple, which is the integral education. What's behind the title of integral education? You said there's no solution. What's the solution? The solution is that we use the force of nature itself that's above us. By the fact that we're connecting between us, that we're creating these special circles, we're discovering the force of connection. It's a special method. We need to learn it. We're discovering the force of connection that's capable of changing us. That this force of connection is higher, it's managing us from the side of nature. Call it God, doesn't matter what you call it, our Creator, because He's creating us from a higher degree. Just like parents toward kids, let's say. This is how this force is capable of changing us. And we find it in the center of the society that knows how to build itself according to certain laws. So there's this solution, but because the solution, it's anti-egoistic, the solution, so already in our subconscious, they're rejecting it, and they can't accept it. And we can come with all kinds of proof and perceptions and accurate. They're still not capable of accepting it. And this is how we'll exist. We keep running into this wall that our ego is preventing from us reaching people's hearts and minds, the wise ones, and good people who really want a change. They see everything is going down, and still they're not capable of hearing. Can you explain to me, let's say I'm a representative from those wise people, they understand the problem is a person's egoistic nature. Can you explain to me directly your suggestion? Maybe I'll manage to grasp it. What's your suggestion? When people begin to connect according to certain conditions, that each one cancels himself in front of the others, that each one raises the connection, unity above everything happening in this world, that the unity, how we see from nature, that this globalness, integralness, it's this general force that is the foundation. And the first and only form of the entire world that we're starting in this way to build small groups in humanity so that they'll feel what it means to be in the integral human world. We take 10 people, you can take more, and we start making a group out of them. And this group tries to exist inside With a small conversation between them, small verification between them, let's say an hour or two, that they'll begin to feel what the integral world is, where everyone's equal. Everyone gives in to the other and shows the other how much this integral situation is higher. That each one is not coming to cancel the other one out or control them, but rather wants to help express the things. Not that they'll manage the group together, but that they'll reach a conclusion of themselves, a total of themselves, that will be higher than them, an ideal that will be like the total of all the feelings and thoughts of all of them. And from this point, they'll begin to manage themselves. They'll begin to exist there. That each one apparently comes out of their private body, out of their thoughts and feelings, private thoughts and feelings, and everyone is integrated there to be one. This term one is called their global integral foundation, from which they begin to look at each and every detail in their lives. They begin to see how to arrange everything correctly. But for this, you need to exercise it, you need to study it, you need to learn history, the development of humanity, evolution, our egoistic foundation, how to rise above it, because we've reached a situation where our ego is starting to be like cancer, starting to eat humanity, and we need to rise above it and to begin getting rid of it. We have this integral knowledge and integral education, where we explain this whole general form that we exist in, that humanity is just beginning to know now. But scientists have been talking about it for thousands of years. And afterward, we get the integral education where we explain to them, we allow them to taste what it is. And here we need to learn for the future. What do we need to do with humanity? To those 90% unemployed, already thousands have nothing to do. We need to organize them for them to deal with that from morning to night, all the time, not just in studying, but also implementation. The minute they begin to understand what they need to do, they also need to implement it between them. They need to build systems for mutual help, mutual support, that they'll feel happier. That their entire future will look good, bright. This is how we need to act. But in the meantime, of course, there's no one to turn to except those poor people, and not those sitting in the UN. How will this social change influence the environment, except that people won't have time to destroy the planet because they'll be busy? It's not a matter of not having time. They'll understand that they can't, out of the new attitude that they'll get, they won't do it anymore. Not that we're keeping them occupied so that they won't destroy the planet. We're occupying them that allows them to rebuild themselves anew and the relations between them, and just the opposite. They'll begin to correct everything we did in the last few hundred years. So it will be a positive force, all these people, and that will change the world. They'll feel more responsible. They'll feel they need to look after one another, and naturally they'll consume less, and our body will come down from its ego that wants to swallow the whole world. Where's all the sweets? Where's all the alcohol, cigarettes? All the good forms I want of each and everything, vacations, everything. They'll feel that in their bodies they are not demanding more than a creature, because our ego is raising us to a level that it doesn't even need. And everything is absorbing, but above the living level, it's to his detriment. Everyone says that, that if we gave the body exactly what it needed, then we would feel much healthier. The fact that we're correcting ourselves, raising ourselves to this integral level, we need to relate to our body like at the living level. Take what you need to sleep fine, to eat, to rest. Give the body everything it needs, but nothing more, because everything else, we see what's happening. Even with pets, if we give them sweets, we see how they begin to be sick. They start getting the same illnesses as people. Therefore, this is where our work is, that people will feel through their inner correction how to have the right attitude to their life, to education, health, security, knowledge, everything. In other words, we don't need to pay attention to anything except correct a person to organize society as one body. Then we'll be matching nature, and that same force operating, that same global force operating in nature that's managing everything, we'll work in harmony with it. I wanted to ask about the personal aspect. When I did a search for this about happiness and sustainability, they don't just look at happiness as something important to reach sustainability. The term of happiness itself as a personal thing is just part of the equation. Some people say that when happiness has to do with the good of the environment and good of others, it starts being much wider, and even other species in nature, our natural environment, especially when we're in a network of interdependent relations, and that my decisions, my thoughts can positively or negatively influence this whole network of connections that I'm in. So I wanted to ask from my personal perspective, how will a person feel that he'll really experience that his happiness is dependent on others' happiness? It's from the education itself. But we feel it today and understand it today. Just this research, it's still not reaching each and every person in society, because we don't want it to. There's many people that don't want that to happen. They want these people to exist like slaves, to work in factories and all kinds of places for 10 or 12 years and even 10 or 12 hours and even more. And they won't see any advancement except to exist, and that's it. Therefore, we need to do more TV shows explaining what our happiness is dependent on, our sustainability, and therefore, I hope we're advancing in that. Of course, it's never enough, and humanity is getting more and more ruined while we're trying to bring to its awareness how to correct things. But there's already some kind of change in awareness. If we're in this connection, in a group connection, if I become a more aware and happier person, in that I'm influencing others, we discover each and every day that we're connected more and more together in thousands of interconnections. There's a social connection tying each and every person, where we all become all the universe, with everything happening. Altogether, it's one integral system, and especially human society, that in our relations between us, we're activating all of nature, but especially we're influencing one another. It's known to us from the collective intelligence methods, what they tell you, think about something in one place and it happens all of a sudden in another country without internet or anything. It's already floating out there. Therefore, we see that this is how it happens, that each one not just knows three people, another three people. Where do we get all our thoughts from and desires and urges in? It's all from us being in one network together. And we're already speaking about it, that we're like man's body, physiological, that we're connected in thousands of systems to one another. And therefore, we're also connected between us in such systems. And so if we, in a few places in the world, put up our places where we can teach people what an integral system means, it will influence everyone's, they won't understand where it came from, everyone's consciousness. Everyone will feel an inclination, an interest in it. And therefore, it's very important for us to begin. So does it also go in the other? If the people around me aren't happy, then I can't be happy either. It's the same with our environment. And I just wanted to add to that, that this system is still closer than the people of Israel to the Jews, because they always spoke about love the neighbor as thyself, that their nature, there's already some kind of collective participation. They feel themselves because of the external pressures. And from the side of their internal development, in his entire Torah, they had the issue of our connectivity explained to them. Therefore, we need to pay more attention to it, because if we're talking about how to survive, how to guarantee to ourselves happiness and sustainability, then it's through integral education that, of course, it's worth it for us to begin using. We have an inclination and we have inner preparation. We have this inner urge, this push inside. If we explain it well to all of humanity, I'm sure we'll receive a positive reply. The interesting thing, I saw many societies that are coming closer to these concepts, and there's also a great desire of Israelis that that's how it is throughout time. With the philosophers, the psychologists, Jews are always more. We see there's all different kinds of approaches. There's a very big, many young people, after living a certain way, it's just to get away from the Western type of lifestyle. And here I wanted to ask you, our current state is very, very apart from all the economic and health problems, we know that happiness does not come from material things, and therefore consumerism is still attracting us a lot. There's people being weaned off shopping, and there's bulimia for shopping. What is it about the shopping, this culture of shopping? It's a search for happiness. It's very simple. How can I feel myself happy? Maybe I'll buy myself one. Maybe I'll go abroad again. Even though on the way back, I don't even remember where I was. The plane is landing, that's it. The fire wasn't there. But our ego is pushing us to happiness. We don't know how to feel ourselves in such a heartfelt, internal way. That once upon a time, a person used to sit down with his family. We don't understand that he was happy. In another generation, two people will say the same about us. We finished this development. A person can't feel it's better than he does now. I remember what my life was like in the old days. I don't look back at it nostalgically, but people who didn't have a really developed ego, especially after the Second World War, I remember people that were thrilled that they had what to eat and where to sleep, and they were happy. Today, a person can't reach that same feeling of light in any manner or form. Then in those days it was like that.
And
we see how it is that they started making all these medicines and that they started building pensions in Bituach Lumi, in Social Security, all these help systems for helping people. It was people thought, wow, this is great. I think that the previous generation they thought that we'd be we think that everything's going to be pleasant for a person until our ego will turn around like the snake and begin like cancer to eat us up. That's it. This transition is very special. In the 80s, from that day to now, these things began to get clearer. That through this capitalistic, consumeristic fortune, we won't reach happiness. We see that with all our abilities, we're missing one thing. To calm our ego down. If we calm it down, we would truly reach happiness. I want to ask you about the truly as a result of this consumption society, we see the environmental, we're getting all kinds of diseases that are as a result of overweight. We see a descent in all the governments and lack of ability to do anything in the UN or the governments. They're giving a few reasons why the water is going down. So if other people get happy, and all those things we spoke of now. So when you say to control the ego, just to calm the ego, that's humanity thinks they'll reach something like that, but rather to heal the ego. It's something else altogether. It's not that I'm limiting myself with through some effort, or I'm limited through police or all kinds of things. No. Not that I'm focused on myself and seeing how much I can focus myself compared to other people. with money, intelligence, honor. How I rise above others, how I become happier. No. And not by the fact that I come. It's completely untrue. It's the method of morality that's not working now. But we do need to change. We think that we can minimize our desire. We can only do that with the force of the soul between us. That is one higher than us, and the same. If we start treating a person right away, that will be putting them down. We need just to reach connection that is higher than us. Those same people in a seminar, that force needs to. In that we are inviting the upper force, the integral force, to this world. And this is something that gives an answer to this question. People who don't want to minimize themselves or save, but they still want to look after the environment. I found some interesting things. With the, they want to change the values that there are today. There's many questions today, comments. There's people going out of the city, going to live in a caravan in nature. They get everything through education and an influence. And they, one of them wrote a book and he's being interviewed. That's something else. If a person wants to attain something, then of course he has to shut himself off from this whole world. Then he's dealing in some ideal of himself. And in that he's not building the integral education. He goes into his spot and does what he wants. His niche was to show how much modern life. That's not a solution. It's possible for. There's all kinds of communications like that in the world. We won't be able to deal with it because it's the exception.
אמנם שהם יכולים להיות אנשים מאוד מיוחדים, מאוד טובים והכל, אבל לא מפותחים. האגו שלהם עוד התפתח, ואם לא הם, אז ילדיהם.
Our ego has to develop, and if it's not us, then their children will escape from all these places, from Manhattan. He only has a laptop and a phone for getting incoming calls, and he wants to create a foundation that isn't based on money, but rather trust and success. He's not treating the ego, so what will come out of it? He won't reach happiness. Of course, escaping from the world, there's a lot of places where we can exist. Oh, I have my own piece of land. I know places like that. In Canada, I was. I don't think it's a solution for humanity. They're just taking the least worst scenario. Our time is flown by. How would you conclude the subject of happiness and sustainability? We can reach it. We can reach true happiness and security about our future, sustainability, by taking upon ourselves a goal to correct this snake, our evil nature, and transform it to our good nature. That the bad is from my thinking only about myself, and the good is that I think about everyone like I think about myself, which is completely possible to do. It's possible. Through the upper force, that's in nature, we just need to awaken its influence on us, and then we'll reach it. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you as well for being with us today. Until next time, all the best. New Life.